All right. This is lesson number 6, commentary on Mary Bethany and Mary Magdalene. This lesson is going to be a little challenge in our thinking about who Mary Magdalene was in history and who she was to Jesus. In doing research about Mary Magdalene, I ran into some very interesting writings, and there's a debate going on, and here's what it is. Is Mary Magdalene, who was healed from 7 demons and who was witness to the resurrection, the same as the sinful woman who was converted to Christ in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke? And is she also the person who is described as the sister of Lazarus and Martha, who we read about in the Gospel of John? In the first centuries of Christianity, some Eastern fathers adopted the position that Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, and the sinful woman are 3 different people. But the early Western fathers and the authority of the intellectual giants such as St. Augustine and Pope St. Gregory the Great recognized the relevant scripture passages were speaking about the same woman. This was the Catholic Church teaching and did not come into question until the 16th century when the Protestant authors began to reject Catholic tradition. So we're going to explore this debate a little bit. First, let's look at what ancient oral tradition tells us about what happened after the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord. There was much persecution of the followers of Jesus. There was also exile for many. Oral tradition tells us that Lazarus, as well as his sister Martha, and another sister called Mary, also known as Magdalene, set sail across the Mediterranean Sea and arrived on the southeastern coast of Gaul, or modern-day France. The following names were listed on that boat: Mary Magdalene, Martha, Lazarus, Maximin, Mary Jacobi, Salome, Marcel, Sidonius, and Sarah. 2 of these people were witnesses of the crucifixion of Christ and saw him after his glorious resurrection. It is understood that this group evangelized this area of France and that Mary Magdalene took part in these first efforts of evangelization, but soon sought out the contemplative life in an area that is halfway up the mountain of La Sainte Baume, and I'm probably mispronouncing that. Now, in this short commentary, I cannot possibly thoroughly speak to the different schools of thought or how they came about. I would suggest that everyone read the book entitled St. Mary Magdalene, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love by Father Sean Davidson, Ignatius Press. It's fascinating. And this book gives an honest look at who this woman is based on ancient oral tradition, writings, and history of exegesis on Mary Magdalene. After reading this information, the early church fathers and church tradition makes sense to me, but the debate continues. So let's look at the scriptures and see what they tell us. First, in Luke 7, 36 through chapter 8, verse 3, we enter this scripture in the midst of Jesus' ministry in and around Galilee. Chapter 7 alone has the healing of the centurion slave, the raising of the widow's son, and then Jesus' testimony of who he is based on John the Baptist's question. We then enter the Pharisee's home for dinner. We learn that Simon the Pharisee did not honor Jesus in any way. The woman in this story comes and pays homage to Jesus by kneeling down, cleaning his feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair, and anointing them with oil. The Pharisee is judgmental toward Jesus and the woman. The woman is called sinful, but does not state what sin. We don't know what she has done or said or how she has lived that has labeled her such. We just know that she pays homage to Jesus. The verses that catches my imagination is when Jesus says to Simon the Pharisee, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, Hence, she has shown great love. To me, that sounds like she was forgiven before she walked in. Earlier in the scripture, it says that there was a sinful woman who heard that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house and went and got a jar of ointment and showed up. This is expensive stuff, this jar of ointment. And so this woman has means to get this jar. Also, it takes a lot of bravery as a woman to muscle her way into someone's home without an invitation. At the end, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So looking at this scripture, as if this woman was just some unnamed woman, I would say that she recognized her sinfulness, she recognized salvation in Jesus, and she responded with the love of a grateful heart. That begs the question, do I recognize my sin? Do I recognize Jesus as my Savior? And do I respond to him with a grateful heart? So much so that I serve him with all humility. If we keep reading through to chapter 8, we find that Jesus continued to preach and teach, and that he was accompanied by his 12 apostles and women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. This is where we hear of Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons had gone out. So let's go back. If this woman who cleaned Christ, kissed and anointed Jesus' feet, was indeed Mary who was delivered from seven demons, well, I can see how she would do whatever she could to honor the one who had saved her. I could see how this woman would enter the home of Simon the Pharisee without a care to the judgment he had for her and coming to Jesus in all humility. It is also understood that Mary of Magdala was a woman of means, so her ability to purchase ointment is plausible. So think about this and the other scriptures we have of Mary of Bethany and Mary Magdalene. We have the story of anointing in Luke with Simon the Pharisee. In Matthew 26 and Mark 14, we hear of Jesus in the home of Simon the leper and a woman who anoints Jesus. Could this Simon the leper and Simon the Pharisee be the same person? I don't know, but it's interesting to think about. In John chapter 11, Mary of Bethany is identified as the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. Then, after the raising of Lazarus, we see in John chapter 12, 6 days before Passover, Mary repeats this anointing. We could look at this as the beginning of Jesus' preparation for his death, because after this, Jesus enters Jerusalem. This chapter also speaks to the Jewish leaders' plot to kill Lazarus due to the crowds turning to follow Jesus after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. This gives credence to the idea of exile of the whole family after the resurrection. If we fast forward to the foot of the cross, we see again Mary called Magdalene. She watches her Lord die on the cross. She doesn't flee. She doesn't leave him. She follows to see where they lay Jesus so she can continue to serve him in his death by coming back after Passover to anoint his body for a proper burial. No Roman guard was going to stop her, and in her faithfulness to serve the Lord, in that faithfulness and service to her Lord, even in his death, she travels at first light to find him risen, and thus is the first person who sees the Lord resurrected. Whether you take the stand that Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, and the woman who dried Jesus' feet with her hair is one woman, or three different women, one thing is clear. They, or she, has a great love and a deep faith in Jesus. With this love and faith, there is a grateful heart that desires to serve and revere our Lord Reverence and awe is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Mary's life of service to the Lord was to reverence our Lord. She served him in his life, his death, and his resurrection. She did on earth what we are to do in heaven for eternity: sit at his feet in reverence. She anointed his body in reverence. She proclaimed his resurrection to all. So what does this say to me? I need to look at Saint Mary Magdalene as an example of service to the Lord, taking on the posture of humility and reverence. She understood to the depth of her being that the Lord Jesus brought her back from a life of torment to a life of healing. That healing brought her to a life of service to the Lord that no Pharisee or Roman guard or even exile would stop. So, in the words that Jesus said to Martha, Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. I'd like to close with a prayer to Saint Mary Magdalene. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Mary Magdalene, who by conversion became the beloved of Jesus, thank you for your witness that Jesus forgives through the miracle of love. You, who already possess eternal happiness in his glorious presence, please intercede for us so that someday we may share in the same everlasting joy. Amen.